This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 19. Luke, chapter 7, verse 19 reads this way. It says, "And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together in your name in a free nation, Lord, that you've given to us. May we not take that for granted. And then, Lord, being reminded that you are in our midst, you are wanting to bless us, you are wanting to give us more wisdom and insight and understanding of the salvation that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one that does not know you as Savior, I pray that you would open up their hearts and minds to receive you and to understand salvation, and we'll thank you in that. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And of course, that's the Lord giving information to John the Baptist, obviously from the two disciples that came to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord was showing him all these things so that he could give a message back to John the Baptist. And if you're familiar with this portion of Scripture, you'll realize it's also the account given in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, where John the Baptist is in prison. He's getting ready to give his life. And he stood for the word of God, did he not? God had prepared him. He was following the commission of God. And now he was getting ready really to lay down his life. He'd received all different kinds of doubts, persecutions. But many had received what God was saying through him. And the word of God continued to move forward, and the kingdom of God was being built, and great things were happening. But there was a great cost that this was taking place on John the Baptist. And so the word here, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me," that's the title of our message this morning. But the idea is that he was yielded to God's authority. And so this morning, God would ask us, are we yielded to God's authority? Now, that's easy when the sun is shining. And praise God, it's shining today. And I like this sunshine a little bit better than I do in Florida, because it's cooler here. I can just tell you that. Florida has its own beauty, but listen, the blessings that God has given to us, really throughout our whole nation, what a wonderful place to live. Amen? And so we don't want to take those things for granted, but may we realize that those good things come to us as we yield ourselves to the Lord. And take this in mind. Listen, there's a price to pay. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to receive persecution. But he says, hey, listen, don't be worried about that. Be not troubled, right? I've given you my love. I've given you my peace that the world doesn't understand. The world touts a love today, do they not? Love is what they say. But that's not true if it's not God's love. The love of the world is perverted. The love of the world is self-centered. It's not graceful. But the love of God gives his grace and his mercy and his kindness and gentleness and all the fruits of the Spirit. And so we ought to be thankful for that and be reminded that, listen, we are here today because of the grace of God. Isn't that good? God opened up your heart and my heart to see our need to trust him as Savior. Where would we be right now if we had never seen that? Lost, undone, and on our way to hell. And so the grace of God has been merciful. And by the way, the grace of God will be merciful to every one of his children. John the Baptist needed the grace of God at this time. And you and I need the grace of God also at this time, even when the sun is shining, because there may come days in our history where it won't be so bright. Amen? And yet we can still trust that God is in control, and that we would yield ourselves to God's authority, or to God's direction, or to God's word, amen, and his commandments, and not lean to our own understanding, because when that enters in, that can shake our faith. It could cause us to compromise what God has given to us. And so the Lord tells him, and blessed in verse 23 is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And then verse 24 reads, so we find here really John's question in prison. Are you the one, or do we look for another one? That's an important question. Are you the one, Lord, or do we look for another? Question, did John the Baptist serve the Lord faithfully? Did he experience God's grace? And yet he's asking, are you the one? Could it be? By the way, remember, he's in prison, and he knows it's not looking very good. Could there be a time in our lives where we might even question, Lord, where are you? Lord, are you the one that I can count on and that I can trust in every situation and in every predicament that I might encounter in my life? Because listen, trials are coming, troubles are coming. People think, oh, because you're a Christian, you're not going to have any problems. That's not the case. So how do we know, how do we walk with the Lord, and God's going to tell us that we can have our confidence and not being offended. So here it works like this. If I'm yielded to God's authority, then I'm not reasoning with the Lord. In other words, if the Lord says, this is what we're to do, I'm not going to look at, that's what got Eve in trouble. Let's look at that tree. That's what got King Saul in trouble. Well, listen, you know, Samuel's taking a little bit longer. Let me go ahead and offer the sacrifice. Listen, God said not to do that. There was a fellow who said, who the Lord told, a prophet, he told him in the Old Testament, listen, you don't talk to anybody, you don't go into anybody, and you fulfill the will of God. Well, another fellow came up and said, listen, I got a vision from the Lord. I prayed with the Lord, and he said, you can come on in. Oh, okay. And you remember what happened to him? He got eaten by lions, didn't he? Or by a lion anyway. And the prophet said, who even lied to him, said, hey, listen, his sin's on him because he disobeyed the Lord. And so we want to be careful that we adhere to the word of God and not be thwarted one side to the other. Because, listen, deceivers are entered into the world, are they not? People that would have us believe a lie are here. And so we don't want to believe them. We want to look to the word of God. So John had this question in prison. And now we find the Lord's testimony of John the Baptist in verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled live delicately and are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. What a testimony from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ about this prophet, John the Baptist. And now notice what happens here. He says, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, he's not talking about us. Amen? He's talking about the established kingdom. When we get into the kingdom of God, why? Because we have received the full revelation of grace and mercy, and all we have been given everything. Not here on this life, I can promise you that there's not one greater, but in the kingdom, as the Lord said, in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, then he said, and I don't understand that really, you could, if you do, you can feel free to tell me, he that is least in the kingdom of God is going to be greater than he, and yet we know he was a mighty man of God used for the honor and glory of the Lord. And I would dare say, I don't know anybody that has surpassed him, because he was filled with the Spirit. Listen, I don't understand this one either, from his mother's womb. Paul doesn't even have that testimony, right? And so we thank the Lord for all of that, and he'll give us all the understanding we need on that when we see him face to face. But know this for sure, the Lord says, I want you to know that he was highly regarded. And verse 29 says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. You know, they had all the temple records to look at, before 70 AD, before the destruction of Jerusalem. They knew what his father and his mother went through. They knew that he was a prophet of God, but yet they said, we're not going to receive him. Notice what happens here. In verse 30, we find the counsel of God rejected. So it says, verse 30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Now, the other people, the publicans and those that they considered to be of low degree, they followed John the Baptist. They received his word. But the higher ups of the religious ranks and the lawyers, the people that should have known better, rejected, and they were not baptized by him. And the Lord said, verse 31, whereunto shall I liken the men of this generation? By the way, he's talking about those who rejected John the Baptist. And what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplaces and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced, and we have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. You know what they're saying? You're not doing what we're saying you should do. That's what they're complaining about. And notice verse 33. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil. Isn't that something? I mean, listen, he couldn't have been any more plain and any more truthful with you, and now you're saying he has a devil. That's an excuse that they're making so that they don't submit. They're not willing to acknowledge or yield to God's authority. So he says, listen, you say he hath a devil. Verse 34, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now that part was true. And listen, but they were finding fault with the Lord. They're saying, you know what they're saying? We don't think you're the one. We're not going to acknowledge you. Even though we have all the scriptures, the lawyers were well-versed in the word of God. They should have known more than anybody else all the different fulfillments of the Lord Jesus Christ that were spoken of in the Old Testament. And yet they rejected it. But wisdom is justified of all her children, verse 35 says. Wisdom, those who understand the truth are justified. Aren't you glad that we can see the truth and who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Aren't you glad that we can see who John the Baptist was and what he stood for and how he faithfully followed the Lord? And so the Lord wants us to be mindful of this. Listen, be careful not to reject the counsel of God. Realize this, listen. Hearing is not the same thing as receiving. Hearing is not the same thing as receiving. In other words, you hear the word of God. How do you know that you've received the word of God? Well, let me ask you this. How do you know you've received something? I would dare say you have possession of it. If somebody gave you a keys to the car of your choice, how would you know it's yours when you're looking at the keys in your hands, right? And you see, it's so you have possession of it. Also, knowing is not the same thing of doing, right? We don't want to be hearers of the word of God. We want to be doers. And we want to say, Lord, whatever your word says, we want to follow it, Lord, wholeheartedly. We don't want to reason within ourselves and contemplate whether or not we should do this. We need to come to the place where we say, Lord, this is what you've commanded. This is what we want to follow. Anytime reason enters into the equation, mark it down, that's the devil's work. If God says this is what we're to do, should we reason that? Should we say, well, let me think about that. Let me, listen, that's leaning to our own understanding. Hasn't God warned us against that? Be careful that we don't lean to our own understanding, but that we acknowledge God in how many of our ways? In all of our ways. So that's just automatic. Lord, if this is what you said, listen, I'm sorry to say that this world today is saying a lot of things that God says are evil are good. Who are we going to believe? Well, let's just consider what they're saying. No, God says it's wrong. It's just that simple. We don't need to contemplate and evaluate. I will tell you this. If we do that, you'll find that we'll crumble. We'll fall. We will end up, listen, God says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know why that is? Because we'll follow them, because we'll make a friendship there that shouldn't be, that will lead us and guide us in the wrong direction to do the wrong things, and we will surrender the will of God and the word of God to be friends with the world. And God says be careful about that. That will only cause trouble. So let's consider this last thought here that we find here at the bottom of our text, verse 36. And this is religious hypocrisy brought to light. But I want you to know it's also an opportunity for repentance. We want to see, Lord, I need you to show me your way. Amen? Lord, I don't want to lean to my own understanding, but I want to acknowledge you. I don't want to live a double life. Listen, question. These people, they profess to know the Lord. They weren't false. Listen, they were Israelites. They were people that were in the truth. And yet they did not acknowledge the truth when it stood right before them. May we be guarded that that not happen in our lives. So notice what happens here in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, speaking of Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now let me ask you this question. Do you think the Lord knew who this guy was? Absolutely. But the truth is, this Pharisee did not know who the Lord was. Other than he was popular. Other than of what people said of him. But he did not know him personally, did he? So notice verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Isn't that amazing? Listen, do you not know that this woman of a bad reputation knew how this Pharisee was going to look at her? She knew that. But see, it didn't stop her from doing the right thing and what God was laying on her heart in spite of the opposition. We will have opposition. And so he says, verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. That's an amazing thing. Listen, what a spectacle to see. All of a sudden, this woman who is, I'm sure, not glamorous as far as, you know, in her appearance, and yet she's making this great expense here, or investment, if you will, an offering to the Lord. But notice what happens. Look how the Pharisee sees this. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bitten him saw it, notice, he spake within himself, saying, this man, that tells you right there, he doesn't acknowledge him as Lord. This man, if he were a prophet, oh, wait a minute, he's judging him now. Isn't he? If he were a prophet, you know what he's saying? I don't think he's a prophet. So what he's saying, if he were, this is what he would do. Isn't that something? Listen, we need to guard against doing it. Listen, if this is really of the Lord, then it would go this way. What do we know? Give God the latitude and the longitude and every dimension he needs to do his will. We don't know. We don't know how God works. And so he says, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Let me ask you a question. Did the Lord know who she was? Did the Lord know who she was even better than this Pharisee? Praise God. Where would we be? Where would we be? We're none better than anybody else. But this man has set himself above God and saying, if he were this prophet, he would have known. And you know what he didn't realize? He did know. You know what the problem was? He didn't know the love of God. He didn't know the grace of God. He didn't know the mercy of God. And so he entered into a realm that put him in a wrong place. But really, what was happening was the heart was revealing itself. He had no relationship with the Lord. And he thought he did. That's the crazy part. He thought he had a wonderful relationship with the Lord, and so good that he set himself up to judge God. I'm going to judge you, Lord, in what you're doing and what you're allowing to be done. I invited you here, and look how you're behaving. Who's the one with the problem? Not the Lord. Amen? So notice what happens here. He says in verse 40, and so once he said this, right, in his heart, within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering, did you hear that? Jesus answered his thoughts. He answered his thoughts. He says, I'm going to answer that. Now, I don't know about you, but I would say if he began to speak to me about my thoughts, this is a prophet. In fact, if he says he's God, I better believe what he's saying. He's answering my thoughts? Wow. So he says, listen. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Now, I don't know if he understood. The Lord's answering him. He's going to understand that the Lord is answering his mind and his question in his mind and his judgment of God in his mind. And it's also an opportunity for repentance. It's also an opportunity to make things right. Amen. So verse 41, he said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Two big different sums, right? A very small one, a very large one. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? That's a simple question. He doesn't know what's coming. Anybody can answer that question, right? And so he knew that. When it comes to God, it is simple, not complicated. Who complicates it? We do. So notice what happens here. And so he says they had nothing to pay. And so he says, which of them, verse 42, will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly what? Judged. Thou hast rightly judged. You know why? Because he had just unrighteously judged him. Now you're making the right judgment, right? Now watch this. He had no clue this was coming. See, God is the only one that can open up our hearts, that we can see ourselves for how he sees us. You know how we see ourselves? Somebody once said, you know, the Bible's got to be true, because if man had written that, they would have never written one bad thing about anybody. We would have just said, look how good we are. Listen, the world says, oh, there's some good in everybody. Oh, no. Listen, there's no good in anybody. We're all unrighteous and undone. And so he says, now you've rightly judged. Notice verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto him, Simon, seest thou this woman? Uh-oh. Now we're going to get down to the truth. Now the Lord is going to point him to his heart and what he had judged and what he had done wrong. And listen, he couldn't even help himself. If the Lord wouldn't have done this, he would have never seen this truth. Just like if the Holy Spirit would have never convicted us, we would have never seen that we were lost and undone. And he turned to the woman. That's important too. Because he's looking at Simon. And now he's turning to the woman, which would naturally make you also look to the woman. Because the Lord's talking to you. Or at least you're noticing what he's focusing on. And so he turns to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? You know, the one that you criticized and judged. And by the way, I think he's going to figure out he knew what he was thinking, but this is all unveiling. I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, which was the customary thing to do. You on purpose did what was uncustomary. You showed, and with whoever else was there, you showed no respect. You showed no kindness, no courtesy of what was typical. And so he says, I entered into the house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. That's another custom of the day. You didn't even greet me that way. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. From the time I came in, look what she's doing. And so what is he doing now? Something he could have never done unless the Lord did that self-evaluation. Where am I at? He says, verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many, by the way, which he spoke about, which he judged on, that he didn't know, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to him whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Well, who is that for? That was for the Pharisee. To evaluate himself. You know why you don't have a lot of love? Because you don't have God. You're missing the Lord. You are filled up with what? Yourself. Not God, but with self. You're not willing to make a sacrifice. And verse 48 again, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now who is he? Because they all know only God can forgive sins. Amen? Aren't you glad? And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? They still didn't know. And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Question. Was she saved? Did she have the blessing of the Lord? What happened to the Pharisee? We don't know. But he had a decision to make. Question. Did God reveal his heart like nobody else could? Just the same way he did for us. So he either rejected or he received. And God wants us to know that he wants us to walk our lives in him, or we will be just like the Pharisee. We are one step away from acting like a Pharisee. We are. Listen, self-righteous, after look at me. You know what? Listen, you know what I am? I am a redeemed, unclean sinner. That's all I am. And you know what, Lord? I want to follow after you. You know, let me invite you over here to the Gospel of John. Let me show you what will keep us in step with the Lord. Go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, just for a moment. Look at John, chapter 13, verse 34. This is so important. Jesus, just before he goes to the cross, he's telling this is the gospel message. He says, a new commandment. It's a commandment I give unto you, John 13, 34. That you love one another as I have loved you. Not the love of the world. As I have loved you unconditionally. Will God ever throw you out? Will God ever get rid of you? Are we right to ever try to get rid of anybody? As a child of God, is that how God wants us to love one another? To get rid of people? A new commandment I give unto you. That you love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. He said that again. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That Pharisee was revealed by the love of God. The world needs to see the love of God. You're right here in the Gospel of John. One more place. Let me invite you over to John chapter 15. Listen to this. John 15 verse 12. You can read the whole Gospel of John chapter. The whole Gospel is good. John 15 is good. He says, verse 12, this is my commandment. He's getting ready to go to the cross. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Listen to this. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Amen. So it's important to follow. Listen, you know what? That settles it for me. Amen? Do I have to think about loving one another in Christ? I don't have to think about it. In fact, if I do and come to a different conclusion, am I right or wrong? I'm wrong. I don't want to walk in my own understanding, in my own wisdom. I'll be just like that Pharisee. God says, if we love one another, that's the commandment. Do you know what will be given to us? Everything we need. That we might have the love of God for him and his word and his people, and this world in Columbia, Missouri will be turned upside down when the love of God prevails. Amen? Amen. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne thanking you, Lord, for your word. Lord, thanking you for your mercy and your grace to each and every one of us. We are undeserving, and you are so merciful. Thank you, O God. And may we, by your power, by the Spirit that you've given to us, be led into all your ways to obey you and follow your commands. Bless again, Lord, Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. Build her, Lord, in a way that would honor and glorify you. And Lord, may we be used to see lost souls saved and discipled for your honor and glory. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.